Man-Made, A Stupid Quest for Masculinity is a book that explores the absurdities of modern masculinity from Time magazine columnist Joel Stein. The funny, very funny, and poignant book was provoked by Stein's original faulty notion that he needed to acquire more manly skills and habits to pass on to his newborn son. Again, the name of the book is Man-Made, A Stupid Quest for Masculinity. And on this Father's Day weekend, we welcome Joel Stein to the Roundtable.
Oh, my God. Thank you for having me on the Roundtable. It's exciting.
Well, it is exciting. Now, what began this quest for you?
It was when I went to get the sonogram with my wife. And I didn't think I cared what the gender of my child was. But as soon as I saw the smudge on the sonogram and they told me it was a penis, I just freaked out because I knew it meant going camping. And I pictured having to, like, learn how to teach him to play baseball and him getting into a fight and needing advice. And I wasn't capable of any of those things. You know, I think of myself less like a man than a person who happens to have a penis. So, yeah, I hadn't done any of that stuff as a kid. As a kid, I had an easy bake oven, and I collected glass animals, and I listened to nothing but show tunes, and all my friends were girls, and I wasn't ready to raise a boy.
So it worked for you, though, right? And you just didn't want that life for your child, for your son.
Yeah, that wasn't, you know, that didn't occur to me till he grew up, and I saw him on the playground having his toys taken from him and him just standing there and crying. But no, at first I was just thinking that he was going to be a normal boy and I wasn't going to be able to keep up with him. And he was going to go to like his friend's dad for advice or the coach. And I didn't want that to happen to me.
So your plan to become masculine was what?
Well, I wanted to go rectify my first big mistake, which was not becoming a Boy Scout. So my mom thought it was a fascist organization. She was a big NPR listener. And so So I went and I called the Boy Scouts and asked if I, at you know, 37 years old, could become a Boy Scout. And they said yes. And they sent me on my first camping trip with a bunch of 11 and 12-year-olds. And I earned my first badge and it all went pretty well.
And what was the reaction from the other Boy Scouts?
Yeah, I was worried about that. First of all, there was no fingerprinting, which I think was a mistake on their part.
Absolutely.
Secondly, I thought they would think it was really weird, but they were, especially this one kid, Wiggles, were incredibly empathetic and started giving me advice on fatherhood. It's in the book. It's all excellent advice.
It is good advice. And Wiggles, yes.
Yeah, Wiggles is a wise, wise man. He'll make a great father someday. Hopefully not right away, but someday.
Give us an idea of some of the advice that Wiggles had.
Well, some of it was very practical, if I can remember. Like, after age 11, don't stay with him at the bus stop while the bus picks him up for school, because that will embarrass him. The other was that don't be too harsh on him about playing like adult video games. It was all very smart advice.
You kind of made a list for yourself of things that you wanted to do, whether it be making money or bonding with other men or building shelter or providing food. There were very defined things that you wanted, skills you wanted to acquire.
Yeah, and you know, they were relatively easy to acquire. I wasn't trying to be like an extreme man. I wasn't trying to go ice road trucking or whatever's on the History Channel. I was just trying to get myself up to average for like the average American guy. So that meant going camping. It meant learning how to throw a baseball, which I got Major League Baseball former All-Star Sean Green to teach me. It meant being able to understand and watch a football game. So I got the NFL analysts, Steve Mariucci and Warren Sapp and Deion Sanders, to watch a game with me on a Sunday or a bunch of games and teach me how to watch football. And then towards the end of the book, when my time was running out, I got a little more extreme and I got the Army to let me do 3 days of boot camp, which was a little bit harder. And then finally, I kind of realized along the way that I needed the thing that I feared the most was confrontation. And I think in the end, the fear there is that I'd actually get in a fight. So I decided I had to get into a fight. But I didn't know how to start a fight. I don't know if you walk into a bar and insult someone's woman or how it works.
Right.
So I do what all wimpy people do when they want to do something, which is I call the publicist. And I called the publicist for the UFC and asked if they would send a fighter to get in the ring with me for a round, knowing full well that they'd have to say no because they have a lawyer and this is a bad idea. So I called them, and they said that it was a great idea, and they would love to put me in the ring with Randy Couture, at which point I really wanted to back out. But I knew that my whole thing in life was about backing out of things, so I stupidly went ahead and got in the ring with Randy Couture for a round.
You read in the introduction, I'm going to have to learn how to be a man if I can't just make it through some man stuff, go camping, play a sport, hunt an animal, fix stuff around the house. I'll gain some credibility with my son. If it goes really well, he'll never even know the wussy me. But if I can't, I'm afraid that instead of looking at me as his role model, he'll turn to his coach, his best friend's dad, or worse yet, a professional athlete who eventually disappoints him, fueling a depression that leads my son to write a book better than mine. Which brings up the question of your dad.
My dad had written a book, but I think it was like a businessy book it was a technical book. So I don't think it's better than mine, but my dad, no, my dad's a real man. My dad has scars on his knuckles from all the knife fights he got in as a kid in the Bronx. And he went through boot camp and he boxed in college and he played basketball in high school. And he is always eager to get in an argument with people. So yeah, it's not his fault. It's just genetic, I think. But he also didn't force me to do any of this stuff. He kind of, something that both Wiggles and Randy Couture and my dad said was that trying to force your kid to be to mold him or shape him is kind of a fool's game. And the best you can do is kind of help him with what he's good at and what he enjoys, which is what my dad was so good at. And I always thought he was disappointed in me for not being manlier. And I made the mistake of telling him that. And ever since then, he brings it up in every conversation we have, that he is not at all disappointed with me. He's been very proud of me, and that didn't matter to him. But I do wish he exposed me to more guy stuff so I'd be a little more self-reliant and more confident.
But he was a guy's guy. So did he just sense you weren't interested in it?
Yeah, I also think at that point in his life, he was less interested in it. He was reading manly books. He was reading books about the Civil War and the presidents and stuff. But he wasn't doing the stuff he had done in his youth. He was more into being a dad and a family guy. So I didn't see that part of him as much. I sensed it was there. But yeah, he didn't think it was important, and he sensed that I had no interest. You know, he saw that I didn't want to do sports, and I just wanted to stay inside and read and watch TV, and he was okay with that.
When you went and did some of these things, whether it be in the ring or going to boot camp or whatever the case may be, I mean, obviously there's research here, and you're doing it for a purpose, and you're writing the book, and you're getting some information for your son. But were you ever just said, okay, this isn't me, I'm not enjoying this?
Oh, most of it. No, it's odd though, because like it was never what I expected. Like I really feared the army. And I wound up really, I don't know if enjoying is the right word, but really glad I did that. It was a great experience. Even the fighting, even though I got hurt a little bit, I was really glad I did it. You know, the things I didn't like were home repairs. I went with my wife's very manly dad, who's rebuilt their entire house, and we did some roofing and some plumbing work, and I was just bored. Like, it's, to me, that kind of problem solving and perfectionism and working with your hands, like, oh, I hated it. And I hated hunting, but not because of the killing of animals. By the end of hunting, I just wanted to kill an animal to go home. I just hated having to think about animals and wonder about animals and being in the woods living with animals. It just seemed awful to me.
Do you have a sense of how it is going with your son, of what is rubbing off?
Yeah. You know, it's not even rubbing off. It's just getting a sense of his personality. And he, when he first learned to crawl, he crawled to the closet and grabbed this mustard, unopened mustard that was on the floor, and started pushing around and making car noises. And I never had matchbox cars as a kid. I wasn't into cars. And my wife and I realized we had to buy him cars. And now his room is full of cars, and he sleeps with them. He, like, clutches them against his cheek like a stuffed animal. And he knows more about cars and trucks than I do. He's been teaching me. And he loves tools. But he does, unfortunately, have my non-confrontational gene. So we're at the playground when kids just take his stuff, and he either cries or just looks at them like they're crazy. But he will never engage in a fight with them.
And he's how old?
He's 3 now.
Wow. And yeah. So you come out of this process and this project, and you feel how? Was it all worth it?
Yeah, definitely. For two reasons. One, I now am more comfortable around guys. Like, I can, when I see soldiers at the airport, I used to not know how to behave. I didn't know whether to, like, thank them or if that was patronizing or to give them my seat or if that's treating them like an old lady or if they just don't want to talk to me because I'm wimpy and they just want to punch me in the face. But now I can bring up different things about boot camp. I know something about different bases and the Army, and the Army insanely let me fire a tank. I think I'm the only civilian to have fired a tank. So I bring that up with anyone in the military and we have a whole conversation right there. But you know, all these guys I can now talk to. And then furthermore, I think I kind of thought of myself and my identity as being a black box that I had to, you know, go search and learn about myself. And what I really learned is that I'm largely the sum of my experiences. And the more, you know, masculine or even just, you know, active things I did, the more confident I became and the more I changed. And that was pretty amazing to learn.
Well, the name of the book is Man Made, A Stupid Quest for Masculinity. It is published by Grand Central. Joel Stein, I thank you very much for being with us, and best of luck, and have a wonderful Father's Day with your son.
Oh, thank you very much.
I appreciate it. Thank you. Again, the name of the book is Man Made, A Stupid Quest for Masculinity by Joel Stein, published by Grand Central. You're listening to The Roundtable on WAMC.